Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. That is something that's easy to tell others, but sometimes hard to digest if you're the recipient of the sudden good fortune. Today, we hear a crazy story of a name dropping going to the extreme.
Welcome to the world of crazy workplaces, office horror stories.
Have a crazy workplace story to share? Call in toll free.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
Or write in at officehorrorstories.com. This is Office Horror Stories.
And it is. And yes, 833-HATE-JOB is our phone number. Or you can write in officehorrorstories.com and share your office horror story with us. We would love to hear it. You can do it completely anonymously. And office is really used lightly. Any workplace that you may be in, have been in, that's what we want to hear your stories about. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hello.
How's your day going?
Good. How about you?
I'm doing well. I have an interesting article I was reading about, bad coworkers. Go figure. It's the show that we're doing. One of these things that stood out to me, it says, currently working with a person who has had a sinus infection since November. That's right. Wet, chunky coughs, 9 hours a day, 5 days a week, going on for many, many months. No, she does not leave the team area for coughing attacks. She just retches it up, whatever it is, and then gulps it back down. 10 months of that in a quiet office.
That's awful.
That's the worst thing, when it comes to any sort of illness or allergies or things of that nature, where it's like, you're not doing yourselves any favors by continuing to recycle the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And what is that? Is that how someone learned? Like mom and dad never said, hey, you should blow that out. You shouldn't keep swallowing this shit down.
I don't know.
I mean, you would think at some point in adulthood, they'd be, they've learned a lesson or two. Mm-hmm. Maybe whatever I was taught was not accurate. That's not what I should be doing. Or are they never around anyone else doing this? And they, I don't know.
I can't fathom why anybody would decide to, I'm just going to keep this in.
I don't know. I do not know. It's amazing how oblivious some people can be to their own things. And it sucks being sick. No one's faulting anyone for that. It's just like, okay, well, there's certain things then you should do to try and better yourself. Mm-hmm. when you're going through that. So everyone else also enduring at the same time. 833-HATE-JOB is our phone number here at Office Horror Stories to share your office horror stories with us. Let's go to our first letter. It says, most office horror stories come from workplaces where we must deal with nightmarish coworkers and bosses. I happily left that world to start my own business in 2007. And for the most part, it's been everything I've ever wanted. Awesome customers, a fantastic network of other small business owners to chat with, and the freedom that comes from running my own show. But office horror stories can happen to one-person businesses too. And here is the proof. I had an amazing customer for several months. She spent a lot of money in my online shop, specifically on custom pieces. She's always been very well spoken in our email exchanges and very engaging, had lots of social media credit, and I trusted her. After ordering several items over several months, which she always paid for and giving me glowing reviews, she casually mentioned that she was going on a certain TV show, which she teasingly called E. I congratulated her, assuming she was going to be on the Ellen Show, and to my surprise, she invited me to go on the Ellen Show with her because my work was so inspiring, and Ellen loved it. My artwork has a lot to do with rescue animals, so this seemed legit to me at the time. This is important to understand. This customer had a very credible reason why she was going and why she was asking me along, and then 2 days after that invite was extended, she called me and revealed that her personal friend, Oprah Winfrey, wanted to meet me as well. OMG. Naturally, I was freaking out. Oprah is the holy grail for us small business owners. A shout out for her can literally change your life forever. The customer called me 3 days in a row, keeping me on the phone for 2 to 3 hours at a time to help plan the visit. Oh yes, both Ellen and Oprah wanted to meet me in my city in person before the appearance on the Ellen Show. She kept telling me that I would pass out when I found out all the things that were going to happen on the show. She also said they wanted to fly my favorite actor to my town to surprise me and spend the day with me. The producers been snooping around my Facebook page for months, apparently, to find out my favorite things. The thought of my favorite actor showing up unannounced horrified me, considering the state of my home, currently filled with 2 elementary age kids home for the summer, 3 dogs, 2 cats, and 3 foster kittens. More than anything else, the phone calls with this customer were unsettling, and I began sensing that she was playing mind games with me. She'd tell me how awesome my summer was going to be, and they would say things like, but maybe you don't want any of this to happen, or maybe I'll just stay home and let you have your time with E and O, huh? But, and in the meantime, I wasn't getting any phone calls from Ellen or Oprah or their producers. But my customer dropped producers' names casually in conversations, Jeff, Katie, etc., and insisted that they needed my personal info, address, phone number, etc., in order to coordinate their visit and appearances on the TV shows. When I asked if I could bring my family and a couple of friends to meet Oprah and Ellen when they came to meet me, I was contacted not by my customer, but by her lawyer on Facebook. Her lawyer stated that it was unprofessional of me to ask that, and it would reflect poorly on me to ask for anything extra. He also went on and on about how amazing my customer was and how she did so many wonderful things for other people. Then came the news that snapped me out of the fantasy world she had created. She told me over the phone that Oprah was nominating me for the CNN Heroes Award. I mean, I know I make cool stuff, but what in the actual living hell? I'm not saving humanity or anything. So that launched me into some serious Google background checking on my customer. I made a couple of phone calls to her supposed workplace, a children's hospital, where they had no record of her and realized that the entire story was a sham. Reflecting on all that had gone down, I realized that my customer was most likely an identity thief, gathering info on me, quote unquote, for Ellen. Additionally, I discovered that the lawyer was completely fabricated and it was her the entire time, talking herself up and admonishing me for asking for anything she felt would interfere with her plan. I'm still not sure exactly what her end game was. Perhaps she was mentally ill or extremely lonely, or maybe it was just an evil person who got kicks out of messing with artists who are eager to please. Who knows? I refunded her for any orders that had not yet been delivered and severed all ties with her. I changed my phone number too. Luckily, I woke up and came to my senses before I gave her anything vital she could use, like a social security number. I consider myself a savvy person, so the fact that I was nearly conned by someone I thought I knew and who seemed extremely trustworthy really surprised and scared me. Looking back now, I can't believe that I fell for it. But at the time, when the lies were given to me, tiny bit by tiny bit, I can also see what a master manipulator this individual is. Be careful out there.
Why would somebody do that?
I don't know. I mean, I think identity thief might be the only thing that makes sense, but there's a lot easier ways of doing that.
Yeah.
Than going on and in developing this relationship and this conversation and yeah.
I don't understand that one. I mean, I believe that happened, but I don't understand what the person that was doing the conning, what their game was.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, could it just be for identity, you know, sake? I mean, maybe this is a person that had, maybe they had success with this one time.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know. I mean, what is your, it's crazy.
An over the phone catfish story.
It is. You know, maybe there is some, you know, obviously there has to be some sort of mental illness going on here too, some sort of extreme, mm-hmm. you know, for this to be executed, no matter what the end game is. But what on earth is that? You know, it makes you wonder sometimes when people have such grandiose stories and things of that nature, are they kind of believing it? Sometimes the person mm-hmm. selling the story, are they kind of believing their story sometimes and that they have these relationships and then kind of snap out of it? Are they always believing these grandiose type things? You know, what exactly is that that's going on?
That I don't know.
But to have those buddies there, Oprah and Ellen. But, you know, when you're, you know, just doing stuff and you're working with the public and you're selling your goods, it's not a completely unfeasible thing to have someone that really likes your stuff and has some sort of connection to say, you know, I'd like to help you because I got this or that. You know, it's not common, but it's out there. You just got to be really super duper cautious now. Anytime you get any sort of request or offer or we'd like you for this or for that, you got to do your homework. And thank God, you know, you can Google things now. There's many things you can do to, you know, look up information on person contacting you. Mm-hmm. And I think going with your gut is pretty good advice too. As well as long as your gut is leading in the right direction most of the time. So anyway, creepy story. That's messed up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Have you ever had anyone that had real grandiose stories or name drops or anything?
I don't know about name drops, but I worked at the theme park, and I've mentioned the theme park before.
We really need like some sort of like background music when you talk about the theme park, because you bring it up and let me see.
Have I mentioned what happened there?
Yeah, we've talked about the theme park.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Because he had grandiose ideas and tried to... He convinced half the city to put money into this theme park mm-hmm. that was open for a month and then closed.
Mm-hmm.
And he took all the cash out of the quote-unquote bank mm-hmm. that night, you know, where we had all the drawers counted and everything.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he took all that stuff and left the state that night when they filed bankruptcy. This is fun. Yeah, it was not my idea to work there.
I remember this theme park when it went up. This is a defunct theme park that it was like, oh, it's going to be big and amazing and all that bullshit. And yeah, then it shut down because of weather. Was that the...
Oh, they claimed it was rainy day. All kinds of stuff.
Yeah. He ended up going to jail for quite some
time. He did.
After all of that, that fun. Did he name drop? Like what?
Not really. No. I mean, the only names he dropped were ones he had legit made contacts with he had conned like certain well-known people around town.
Yeah.
Past musicians that had a history.
Mm-hmm.
Named a theater after one, you know, made it sound like that they go way back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What were some of the grandiose ideas?
Oh, we were going to have not only the theme park, we were going to have a water park.
Oh, okay.
And the theme park was going to have more roller coasters than like Worlds of Fun, which was at the time the closest theme park.
It's a pretty big one in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we basically had a permanent carnival. And the roller coaster we did have is one that I have seen at state fairs. It's one of those, the cart spins around and goes around. It's like,
yeah, it's transported on semis. It's not like a permanent thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which you would have at a theme park would be more of a permanent structure, not a, hi, we took this off the truck and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So all kinds of grandiose ideas.
That's exciting. Now it's a big empty field.
And his biggest thing was he was going to use it basically kind of like how Dog Patch USA was like a religious theme park.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He wanted to use it as a religious theme park, which was beside the point. That was not why I was there, but.
There's a long history of super successful religious theme parks. Oh, wait. That usually doesn't work out well.
Yeah.
There's some really interesting YouTube footage online. I, as you know, I love looking at abandoned shit or defunct things and just seeing like, well, what does it look like today? And there is quite a bit that's left of Heritage USA, which was... the other nut.
The Bakers.
Yeah, the Bakers. And he's like over in near Branson now.
Yeah, he
is. Selling, you know, survivalist
prepper
gear.
Prepper stuff.
Yeah. There's quite a bit left of it. And I don't know how it's been repurposed and whatnot. And there's parts of the theme. A lot of the theme park's gone now. But for a while, it was like urban explorer heaven, because it's just like abandoned water slides and rides and all sorts of stuff. The further back you go, the more interesting some of the videos are. But today, the grounds are still there. I believe there's a hotel that's still there. There's another building that never got completed that's there. It's just interesting to see these grandiose ideas and things that, you know, maybe ran for a little while or kind of got off the ground, and then what they turned into. Dog Patch was another abandoned theme park, but that was a smaller one though, wasn't that? That was here in Arkansas or Missouri?
I think so. I think that was here somewhere.
I keep seeing stories about that where people keep buying and selling it or not selling it. And it's essentially a lake now with rotting shacks around it. I don't think there's really these, and I get like you have these happy, fun memories of childhood and you'd love to go back and see that be a business again. But I mean, at some point the places are just,
yeah,
they get, nature takes over. if people didn't, there was a one in Wichita, Joyland, that was like that too, where people wanted to keep it going, but nature took over. Yeah. And then vandals took over too. But, yeah. 833-HATE-JOB is our phone number to share your office horror story with us. Even if it's from a theme park, we'd love to hear it. Or you can write it on our website, which is officehorrorstories.com. Let's go into this one. It's about a customer. The customer in question, let's call her Basic, spent a few minutes looking on the shelves before approaching me. She seemed nice at first, asking me if I had any almond flour. Politely, as I do, I looked all over my cart and confirmed there was none. So she asked if I can check the back. Now, I don't know if you've ever been a shelf stocker in a large superstore or department store before, but the amount that needs to be done will vary from day to day, depending on how much freight you get in. Basically, my policy as a stalker is that if the truck we got in wasn't too large, as in not much freight, I would agree to check the back or if they were just polite about it. Whereas if we had an unusually large amount of freight in, I would decline and tell them what's on the shelf is all that we have. Sorry about that. Usually this diffuses the situation. Sometimes customers will insist and I must do it. And sometimes the customer just nods and walks away. Not this one, though. I informed her that what we have on the shelf is all we have. I'm sorry about that. And she loses her mind. Cue to the bitch in her rant. Are you kidding me? You've been out for 10 days. It's almost 2 weeks. I'm so freaking pissed. That's it. I'm never shopping here again. I'm just so freaking pissed. You've been out for almost 2 weeks and it's ridiculous. Come on, we're leaving. Just leave the cart right here. We're leaving and never coming back. God, I'm so freaking pissed. I literally just watch, wide-eyed, as she goes off, seemingly at me, but also not. I have no idea. As she walks away, I do what I should. I pull her cart out of the aisle, go back to stocking, and think to myself, don't let the door hit you on the way out. And lo and behold, the very next day, we get some almond flour in. It's not too dramatic of a story, but the lady has always stood out to me because of her basic bitch voice. I'm sure you all know the ones that I mean.
Like, do you have some almond flour?
Is that how it would go?
That's how I'm guessing it went.
Or is it the vocal fry? Do you have any almond flour? You like that? Is that good?
That was good.
Almond flour. I hear that a lot. I hear that in men a lot too now.
Really?
Yeah. It's, I don't know what the hell that is or why people do it.
I would have to think constantly about everything I say to do that. It doesn't, that's not something I could ever just naturally do.
It seems like work to really get that out. But I guess maybe it's one of those things where when you're surrounded by it all the time, maybe that's where people pick up on it, where it's just all your friends talk like that. And then some people just kind of take on the persona of those around them. I wonder who the first vocal fry person was.
I don't know.
How'd they get hit by a bus?
The last person I heard had a really annoying voice was one of the pediatricians that did one of the girls' checkups here. And I thought, for a highly educated person, why do you sound like this? But she would say it like this, and everything would end on an up note. And I get that she's a pediatrician working with kids, but literally everything ended like this.
Even
and,
when they're talking to you, the mom.
And I'm like, okay. And use the word like all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, I know I say it a lot, but she sounded like crazy.
To quite an extreme. There's some YouTube channel that Harper watches where it's all about reviews of products, like children's toys.
That shit.
And the voiceover lady on there, the person who runs the channel, it's not like it's like your big production department. But what I don't get, I mean, I guess somebody, I guess if you're making money, you're making money is what it comes down to, because this thing gets a shitload of views. So I guess the answer is, why change it if it's making money? But the woman's got to be like in her 30s at least. And she plays with these toys as if she were like seven. And really gets into it and talks like with a high pitch thing back and forth. And it's beyond, hi, I'm a teacher or I'm a nursery, you know, attendant or whatever. It's like, this person is legitimately into these toys. This is kind of scary. It seems like, and on my next episode, I'm going to kill my cat. You know,
I know.
It's just going to be something horrible. And Harper's going to come around screaming to us like, oh my God, there's a cat head on a spike, and I was just expecting to learn about the new slime. Because it's just like, what the
I hate that junk, you know. I feel like that's just crap.
My question is, how did this begin? I mean, somebody figured out this worked, you know, as far, but there's a lot of people that try to do it and just fail at it. But who's, I mean, I get it when it's kids kind of doing it and showing off their stuff. That makes more sense, kids to kids. It's a lot creepier and weirder when it's an adult.
And I don't see it like from a parent's point of view, like, okay, is this toy worth getting or not?
Yeah.
Sure, check it out on YouTube and see. I don't see parents being the ones to go to watch this lady open this toy. Have there been toys where we would have loved to have known how shitty it was after the kid opened, or before the kid opened it? Yes.
Sure.
But oh my God, I don't think I would watch that lady. No.
It's just horrible. Yeah. What was the biggest toy disappointment that you've ever gotten? Not necessarily for the kids, but yourself.
Myself.
Can you think of it?
No. I don't know of any toy disappointments, but I didn't get any really crazy things where it's like there's no way it does what it says it's gonna do. I was more into like Barbie dolls and Cabbage Patch dolls and stuff. I mean, those were what they were, so I didn't have any real disappointments. Now I could see some of the toys that looked really awesome and you get it and they're crap. Yeah, I could totally see that being a very big disappointment,
but sure,
I didn't have that.
No, I think that the thing that stands out to me, it's not necessarily that it was a disappointment because it didn't work. It's we never used it. It was my dad picked up I think it was a knee board.
Oh,
you know, where you can sit on your knees and then be pulled by a boat on the water. And my dad had a boat And he'd go on the water all the time to I call it, you know, fishing in quotes.
Yeah.
Means sitting there and hoping something bites and nothing ever bit. But I thought, well, this would be fun. I would like to go. But it was always like we couldn't use it for whatever reason. Mm. I don't know what the reasons were. It's like, oh, when you're a little bit older. Okay. I'm older now. Can we try that? Nope. We got to get the rope or something. Like, well, okay, I think we got a rope now. I'm like, well, it's
Can I dissect what happened there?
What?
Your dad brought it home thinking it'd be fun, and your mom didn't want you to do it.
Said
because
too it's danger.
Too dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a number of those things happen at my house.
Yeah.
Most time it was puppies that were brought home from the liquor store. My dad would, if there was a free puppy at the liquor store, oh my God, it would come home. And then the next day it would be gone. Either I went to school and it's gone, or I took a bath that night and it's gone. That happened numerous times.
That's horrible.
It fucks with a child.
The lesson is don't get liquor store puppies.
No.
It's never going to work out well. Do you never see those at liquor stores anymore?
No. You know, I mean, sometimes you see the people on the far end of the parking lot at Walmart, and they've got a, you know, free puppy sign, and you go, and they're covered in fleas, and you feel bad for the animals, but
you feel bad because the people are covered in fleas, and
no,
the
animals are bad. There was a couple of cute ones and there was one that I got to play with, like, all day, and I just loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it, bath time disappeared, so...
Wow.
Yeah.
Should we talk more about this?
No, I'm over it. I'm just telling parents, don't do that to your kid.
The lesson today, don't buy liquor store puppies.
You don't buy it. It's a free box of puppies.
The more you know. 833-HOB is our phone number here at Office Horror Stories. Somebody's going to write in. I worked at a liquor store and this guy came in every other weekend and got a new puppy and then tried to return it the next day when we were closed on Sundays. It was fucked up, man. Next story. I used to work for a mobile phone company in a call center many years ago, 2001. One day at work, I got this call that I'll never forget. Me? Thanks for calling company. My name is Sarah. How can I help you? In a thick Southern Alabama-like accent, very loudly, not screaming, but a nearly frantic customer says, I'll do my best. I apologize if the accent is not Alabama. I have kind of a staple Southern, and it's not to be offensive. Okay. A demon has possessed my phone. I'm sorry, ma'am. Can you repeat that? A demon has possessed my phone. At this company, we were required to repeat back what the customer says to make sure we heard them correctly. Me? A demon has possessed your phone. Yeah, a demon has possessed my phone. Now, I'm rather baffled at this point because the customer doesn't sound like he's funny, but at the same time, I'm trying to not laugh. Me? All right, can you tell me why you think your phone is possessed by a demon? And my boss and several coworkers who are all in cubicles just feet away have heard me and are starting to lead towards my cubicle to listen in. Customer, it's walking across the table. Took a second, but I realized her phone's on silent and it's vibrating, moving around because someone is calling her. Well, trying as hard as I can not to laugh, I tell the customer, ma'am, the reason it's walking across the table, I pause because I'm really trying to be respectful, but my coworkers, it sounds like I paused for dramatic effect. This is because your phone has a feature to vibrate if you turn the ringer or ringtone on or off. This silent mode then vibrates if someone is calling you. My coworkers all laugh, but fortunately, I was able to mute the microphone fast enough so the customer wouldn't get upset. Despite explaining to the customer that her phone wasn't possessed by a demon and its animated antics were just a feature of the phone, it still took another 30 minutes explaining this multiple times before she truly understood. I love that call center because as weird as this call was, it was just one of many weird calls that I had and with my coworkers on my team that we took over the many years of working there. Did we ever have that call on the ghost show on Real Ghost Stories Online of someone saying my phone is possessed by a demon because it moves across the table?
That's hilarious though. I love that.
How do you handle that? Like
exactly the way they did.
Yeah.
Just calmly try and explain what the vibrate mode is.
Yeah. It's
funny.
That's a story. My phone is possessed by a demon. I feel bad for the person though too. I mean, well, both parties, and more so the call center worker, because it's still, granted, we just had the abbreviated version here that we went through in 4 minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, she said they were on the phone for 30 minutes. I don't know how you do that and you keep the repetition going and keep trying to explain this basic concept to someone for that long with patience and kindness if you can muster it.
I think I would start like playing with them at some point. I would get bored and I'd tell them they need to take it to the church and dump it in the holy water and then it'll be okay. The
phone's dead. Yeah, that's just messed up. I as a kid, I can only imagine. I would love to get a letter someday from some of the call centers that I would fuck with.
Yeah, like Nintendo?
Yeah, I loved calling Nintendo when I was a kid. 855-853-48. That's a show phone number. That's one of our shows. That's Real Ghost Stories Online, isn't it? I used to know their phone number by heart. 888-25. I don't know. I won't give it up. I think I do know it though. Anyway, yeah, I would used to prank. I had no brothers or sisters. I had a cat. So for fun.
You always preface this like it's okay because you were an only child and had nothing better to do.
Everything's okay when you're an only
it's
child.
It's still fucked up.
Makes everything okay. So this is what I would do. I would call Nintendo. And early on, you could call their phone number and they'd give you like advice and tips on games and stuff. But then they had a new line for that. It was like a 900 number. So obviously, my parents weren't going to spend, you know, $4.99 so I can figure out where to find Link's sword on Zelda. So I was left calling the customer support for like technical support to Nintendo. And sometimes I'd just call and chat with them and I would ask about like upcoming products and stuff because it was interesting. And there's no internet yet, kids. There's magazines, maybe, but it was more like word of mouth. So I would call and luckily they were really nice quite often and would answer my questions of, you know, the 7-year-old me asking about new Nintendo games. But eventually I started getting evil and I would call with all these different scenarios as to what was going wrong with my Nintendo. Yeah, I had many times where I would claim it was on fire, and I'd have sound effects ready in the background. I'd have like crumpling bags, so it sounded like flames. Oh my God, the cat's on fire! It's great fun. And eventually, they started calling me back.
Oh.
And so I had to move the operation to a payphone. Because it's a toll-free number, so you could call them a payphone. So when I got a little bit older, and you know, it's one of my things I love to do. You know, you go to the mall when you're a teenager, or you know, I was probably like 12, 13, uh-huh. being dropped off at the mall to go wander around my friends. I didn't go and wander around to stores. I went straight to the payphones and just started prank calling 800 numbers. And I had another friend with me who loved doing it too. He's like, we're going to do what? I'm like, just play along. And so it was basically improv that you're doing for a poor call center employee, but the stories would get pretty elaborate and pretty exciting.
So when they called back, what did they ask?
It was just kind of one of those, you do realize, you know, prank calling is illegal, which I don't think it technically is. You know, you're gonna have to go down quite a route or a road to get anybody truly in trouble for prank calling. Uh-huh. You know, harassment maybe, but it's like they scare the kid, say something scary to the kid. Today you probably couldn't do that because you're probably violating some sort of right of the kid,
and then your parents can sue.
Exactly. Yeah, but back then it was more like let's scare the kid and make him stop.
Okay.
So yeah. that's the shit I did. And that's going to wrap up today's episode of Office Horror Stories. If you got an office horror story you want to share with us, maybe you're on the receiving end of one of those calls of mine back in about 1990, really probably 93 to about 98 or so.
That's a long time to do that shit,
let
Tony.
Me know. I'd still do it today.
Oh,
you
God.
Wouldn't get mad at me. I still do when telemarketers call. So if you got a office horror story, let us know. 833-HOP or online at officehorrorstories.com. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Office Horror Stories.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.